Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Morning Words of Encouragement. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. Our Morning of Encouragement is a ministry of the Church of Christ at Redan Road, located in Lithonia, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our Words of Encouragement will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin. Brother Griffin has been with us for a long time, and he has never let us down. I know today he will do no less. His title for today's words of encouragement is Compassionate About Our Message, and it comes from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I strongly advise that you stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves that quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for that fine introduction there, Sister Danielle. Certainly today is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Certainly, when we talk about compassionate about our message, it's a very serious matter because we're in a world that deals with words words that encourage, words that instruct, words that depress, words that motivate, and also words that persuade. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, where Peter telling his brethren who were scattered abroad due to the persecution, that we must sanctify the Lord God in our heart and be ready, everyone that asketh of the reason or hope that is in us with meekness and fear. This literally is a court hearing wherein early Christians were put on trial concerning their faith. Some buckled at the knees. Some denounced Christ. But for the most part, it is said historically that many went down fighting, screaming and shouting, "Jesus, Jesus, save my soul. Jesus, Jesus, save my soul." Because they would not deny that Jesus was Christ, the Son of God. And even when we are in our age of dating and trying to learn what it means to romance, we have a different tone in our speech, over a particular or peculiar tone in our speech. Young ladies, when men approach you, they approach you with such a sweet, persuasive, but charming message, and the message has compassion and gentleness and kindness that's supporting every word that flows from his mouth. And in reverse, we might say, young men, women who was really interested in you, they respond to you in such a world, in such a sweet and gentle and kind and non-threatening voice as well. So it's a powerful thing, but a significant thing. When we listen to people, we are influenced by the tone and the pitch and the tenor of their voice. And so when we look at 1 John 1:1 and 1-4, we find that there was a group of believers felt that they had a special revelation that no one else had. But in their peculiarity or their uniqueness, so they felt, is that they the only one who had access to this special revelation. But in doing so, their special revelation committed them, so they believed, to behave in such a way that was unbecoming of a child of God. Their position is that the body was naturally evil, but the spirit was divine. And they couldn't really control the desires and the craving of the body. And so when the body craved the desires of immorality of many sorts, it was okay, because in their thinking, that's their body that's sinning, and it's not their spirit. And so within their own person, they made a distinction between the flesh and their spirit. And so the writer of John, then the Apostle John, took serious issue with that, because this behavior and mindset was spreading throughout this community of believers. And of course, they were teachers. They were very wismatic and very intelligent, inferential teachers in the body of Christ. And so their thing was that if Jesus was the Christ, then there was a problem. Christ was Jesus. That was a problem. And it was a problem to them because they, in their mind, believed that flesh was naturally evil. And therefore, divinity, that is God, could not dwell in flesh. Their argument was that Jesus Christ, that we know, Jesus, the Son of Mary, could not be the Messiah because he was flesh. And if he was the Messiah, he could not be Jesus, because they did not believe that divinity, godliness, sovereignty of heaven could not dwell in flesh. They were so misunderstood on that principle. But the writer began and said, look, this is a message that we have declared to you, that we have received from the beginning, because we have seen him, we have handled him, we have saw him, the word of life. And so here it is. There are some things that people can convince you that you're mistaken about. But when you have sat down and ate with someone, spoke with someone, have touched someone, who've been in the presence of one, who have been influenced and persuaded by someone, there's nothing anyone can tell you that they are not real. And so here's what the early believers had to be very compassionate, very persuasive, very convincing about, yes, this is Jesus the Christ, and we declare him unto you because we have fellowship with him. And if you want to have fellowship with him, then you got to believe that he is who he said he is. And so we find that they believe that this special group of believers, that they were either above sin, they did not commit any sin, or they weren't aware of any specific sin that they had committed. And so the writer continues to say, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. You see, the fact of the matter that we do sin is a reality. We know we sin, but if we continue to acknowledge our sins, repent of our sins, and apologize for our sins, we can receive the forgiveness of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if you walk in the light as he is in the light, that is, God is light. It's not that God is a light or God is the light. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. And so he's not tainted. He's not an admixture. He is light. Jesus said in John 8:12, that you be followers of me and walk in light. I am the light of the world, and those who follow me, they will be also the light of life. And they were so compassionate about who Jesus was that those who are the adversary had to just leave that community of believers because they were not giving up any ground, because John, through his writings, had convinced them that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, the Jews, they too would not believe that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. And there are those today who are the Jewish religion who are still waiting for the promised Messiah to come. But he has come, he has lived, and he has died. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he ascended, and now he's making mediations for those who believe him, and one day he's coming back. And there are those who didn't believe that this Jesus, and that's the writer in Acts chapter 2, said, this Jesus whom you have crucified, the Lord, God had made him both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So there were those, even in the first century, would not believe that this Jesus, this Mary's son, was the promised Messiah, but he was. And today, there are those who are still looking for a promised Messiah. And so those of us on the telecast, you and I must read our Bible, love it so that we will have compassion in our speech, have a compassionate disposition, that people will be convinced and persuaded that we too have been with Jesus. We've got to be certain, we've got to be sure that we are in the way, because he is the way, the only way, only life, and the only truth to the Father. And folks have to see that in our life, and in our speech, in our conduct, in our character. We have got to have a compassionate message, not a message that's going to condemn folk to hell. They're going to go there anyway if they don't know God. But our message would be a message of love, and that's why we're told in Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. So let's be compassionate about our message so that others might know that we have seen him, we have heard him, we have handled the word of life, that is Jesus. May God bless you, and may he keep you in our message today. Let us pray. Merciful God, we're so thankful for your divine truth that has been given to us many years ago. We just pray that we continue to learn it, apply it, and share it with others. Forgive us of all our wrongdoings when we forget to speak with compassion, and allow anger and malice and bitterness flow from our lips, forgive us. Allow us to refocus, re-engage those people we're trying to bring your way. Guide us and keep us, as this will be our prayer this day, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.